Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. Theresa May has just launched a review of her higher education policy, raising questions over whether the Tories will still allow universities to charge up to £9,000 a year for fees. Here's what she had to say earlier.
Our goal is a funding system which provides value for money for graduates and taxpayers. So the principle that students as well as taxpayers should contribute to the cost of their studies is an important one. I believe, as do most people, including students, that those who benefit directly from higher education should contribute directly towards the cost of it. That's only fair.
I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Bowles to discuss. So, James, the Tories have been under pressure for quite some time from Jeremy Corbyn, who kind of hinted that he would scrap tuition fees for those who've already been to university. Then he changed his mind and said he'd scrap them for those about to go. It seems that the Tories, rather than mocking him, are actually saying, in effect, that he's got a point and they will change their minds.
I think this is a big danger for the Conservatives. They risk looking like Corbyn light. They basically risk saying, yes, I know Jeremy Corbyn says tuition fees are unfair and he's going to abolish them. Yes, they're too high, so we're going to cut them a bit, but we're not going to go as far as Jeremy Corbyn. And I think that politically that fails, because you raise the salience of the issue without actually competing with Labour's offer. And there is no point in trying to compete with Labour on cutting fees, because you can't beat three. Labour offering to make it free. The Tories can't make it cheaper than free. They'd be much better off doing some defensive stuff to sort some unfairness in the current system, which would be basically bringing back maintenance grants so that the poorer students don't have to borrow more money to be able to afford to go to university than everybody else, and cutting the interest rates, which is currently at 6.1%, which does seem very high compared to the other rates of borrowing at the moment. In the long term, I think you also need another structural change, which is universities don't have to at the moment. They don't suffer any consequences if their students default on their debts. And one of the things that explains why the interest rate is so high is how many students are defaulting on their debt, which means that everyone else ends up having to pay a higher interest rate. I would like some change that would see universities made liable for some of the costs of their students defaulting on their debts, which I think would make universities think twice about charging £9,000 for pretty much every course.
Now, Katie, Angela Rayner, who's the Shadow Education Secretary, has admitted that if she were to cut fees completely, it would cost £100 billion. So why do the Tories, or why are they so scared of Labour policy here? Why don't they just say, look, to cut fees would be unaffordable, look at the number of poor kids who are going to university, it's never been higher, this system is working. They could defend their policy.
Yeah, and I think it's quite a lot of Conservatives who would like to do that, perhaps even the majority. But the problem is the people in number 10 don't take that view. So you have Theresa May, who's always been accused of being quite Miliband-like anyway by her colleagues. And then you have a team in number 10 who are seen to really see the fact that tuition fees as one of the big issues. I don't think that's reflected in the party. I think lots of people think that's a very progressive argument to be made on tuition fees. And I think part of the problem with this whole review is lots of things James has talked about, so bringing back maintenance grants, lowering interest rate. It could be what they decide to do, but we're now in this weird limbo where Theresa May has just given a speech basically conceding the argument to Labour, saying there is a big problem with the current system as the Tories have designed it, and then saying we could do lots of things, but we're not actually going to decide anything. We're going to have a whole year talking about how bad the current system is, and then we might pick something, which I think is just bad politics, whatever you think.
Right, so James, in uncertain times, do we need uncertain leadership here? I mean, where is the political gain in what she's doing?
I genuinely can't see it. And this is what I think is so perplexing. But number 10 argument is, oh, look, it's not just 18... First of all, the Tories are the Tories' youth problem isn't about 18 to 24-year-olds. It's about 25 to 34-year-olds and even 34 to 45-year-olds, right?
Oh, I just qualify.
Indeed. My young colleague here. And that, I think, is much more about the housing market, the costs of commuter rail, all that kind of stuff, than it is about tuition fees.
And also, didn't we find out recently, Katie, that the youthquake of the last general election was exaggerated.
Yeah, so reports of this high youth turnout, actually not so much if you looked at the data. It didn't seem there'd been a massive uptick in the number of young voters, but that just means it's kind of more worrying for the Tories in a way, because it just means that more people across all age groups voted for Labour rather than being able to blame it on 18 to 24-year-olds, which again is another reason why trying to win them over purely on tuition fees might be a bad idea.
There's also another problem here, which is the incompetence of that election campaign kind of continues to reverberate in Tory circles, which is they made a mistake that the Tories have nearly always avoided, which is you don't call a, if you're the Tory party, you don't call an election in university term time, where all the students are in one seat. So if you take Canterbury, which the Tories lost to almost everyone's surprise, that's basically because there are two universities in that constituency where they basically march like the Pied Piper of Hamelin all off down to the polling station to vote out the Tory MP. If you don't have elections in university term time, which nearly every previous Tory Prime Minister has avoided doing, you avoid that problem. This is this. But I think just on the number 10 argument is, look, parents and grandparents worry about how much debt their children are getting into, etc. Again, part of this is, as Katie's written previously, part of this is a communications failure. Because this isn't like a mortgage loan. You can't go into negative equity on your student debt. You only pay it back if you're earning more than a certain amount of money. It is far more like a graduate tax, a time-limited graduate tax, than it is an actual loan.
Right. But Katie, that's a rather difficult point to get across in debate. Mind you, having said that, so do I remember rightly that you actually took this argument to, was it the Oxford Union or something like that?
Cambridge, okay, yeah,
and
St James's University of Choice. Well, I took part in a Cambridge Union debate several months ago, and I remember because at the time of agreeing to go, it was, I think, before the snap election that I'd agreed, and I thought the general consensus view was that tuition fees are here to stay.
And what was the motion?
The motion was, this House believes we should abolish tuition fees.
Right, and won round the students to the cause of tuition fees.
I was arguing for the opposition saying that we shouldn't abolish tuition fees. As I got closer to the time and I realised not even the Conservatives could really defend their policy, it became a less enticing prospect. And by the end of it, we were just kind of four ragtag journalists, and the other side had Lord Adonis, and it had the Labour MP for Cambridge. But they vote before you go in, and we managed to swing the vote from voting to abolish tuition fees to voting in our favour.
So what is the progressive case then the Conservatives could be making but aren't for university tuition fees?
Well, I think there's three things. First off, that amount of money, 100, you know, what else could you spend that on?
100 billion quid, yeah, that's the cost.
You could spend it on the NHS, mm-hmm. and you could spend it on housing. Mm-hmm. And these are things, if you stop people in the street and said, where would you like the money to go? Would you like to go in things that affect everyone or people who make a choice and it's still free at the point of use? They probably wouldn't pick there. I think there's also the point that it's still free at the point of use. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually stopping anyone from going. No one is not going to university because they can't afford it, because there's no upfront costs, as in America. And the third point is, you look to Scotland and the way that actually getting rid of tuition fees isn't really that answer, because once you do that, unless there's some funding model none of us know about, often means you just cap places. So in Scotland, you have less disadvantaged children now going to university. And in England, even though people like Jeremy Corbyn said it would go down, it's actually gone up, the number from disadvantaged backwards going to university. So although sometimes it seems to go against your kind of the common sense theory of, if it's free, more people go, it's not actually the case if you look at the stats. So it's actually kind of better to have tuition fees.
Yeah. I mean, James, there are lots of things the Conservatives are doing which are going wrong. There are lots of very difficult arguments for them to make. But when it comes to university tuition fees, they can simply point out that in Scotland there are no fees, and yet a child from a disadvantaged background is half as likely to get into university as a bright, disadvantaged English child, which as a Scot, I think is absolutely horrific. It's to think that Scotland is now the worst part of the UK to be young, gifted and poor. So if the argument, we've got several years of data showing that disadvantaged kids are more likely than ever to go to university in England, so the Conservatives should have all the ammunition they need. So I'm wondering if this isn't really about education, this is about a sort of political collapse of confidence in the Conservatives that may well lead to a political collapse.
I think it's also worth remembering that The universities used to be the middle class bit of the welfare state. It's what the middle class got out of the welfare state was free university tuition. In the days when only kind of, you know, one in seven went to university, all that kind of stuff. And I think there is a residual sense of that among some Tories, especially some of those who are pushing for this policy, which is, hang on a second, free universities, that was the thing we used to give our people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little bit of that going on. I mean, there's also a bit of this worry that, you know, parents and grandparents are worrying about this, so we should worry about this. Because even if the young voters aren't going to vote for us, their parents and their grandparents are worrying about the debts they're racking up. But I do think, as you say, it is a fundamental failure to argue the case. And I think there's actually a case. I think that the average man on the street would accept that people who benefit from university education should contribute to the cost of it. You know, that all four of us in this room all went to university. We're all doing what we're doing because we went to university. Mm. To claim that we shouldn't have to contribute anything towards the cost of that, and people who are doing jobs that are harder and less enjoyable, and who didn't go to university should subsidise our education, I think, is a very odd argument.
And Katie, another idea being raised is that if you were to do a science degree, you should pay lots of money for it because that actually gets you a proper job, like a medicine degree or a law degree. But if you were to do an arts degree, like all three of us did, then we shouldn't have to pay as much because that doesn't really increase your earnings potential.
Yeah, on the surface, this sounded like a really bad idea to me, that I thought maybe I just wasn't getting it. And then I just had lunch with an MP who's involved in education. And I said to them, yeah, I'm presuming I'm just not quite understanding this, can you? And they're like, no, you are understanding it. It's just a bad idea. and I think it's also a point Justine Greening has made, which is basically like, if you are actually trying to increase social mobility, is it a really good idea to say that if you want to have one of these careers that's traditionally more financially lucrative, such as being a doctor, you need to pay a higher sum for your degree? Because surely that means, in theory, people from more disadvantaged backgrounds, if they're trying to be cost effective, will go for degrees such as mine, philosophy, which has quite a low kind of expected salary after and employment rate compared to these what would be higher priced degrees.
This is the maddest idea I think I've almost ever heard, which is, on the one hand, the government complains that there aren't enough people aren't enough STEM graduates, science, technology, engineering and maths, and then you announce that you're going to make those degrees far more expensive than every other degree. I mean, it's completely bizarre and baffling.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffeehouse Shots, on the iTunes store or to the magazine itself. Full access for 12 weeks for just £12 plus a free Moleskine notebook on spectator.co.uk/pod offer. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Nick Hilton who produced this podcast.